It's 2:48. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Noel Brodsky is an associate professor of economics at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. And one of the things he tells his students is that the field of economics allows you to glimpse the future. And with that in mind, he's written a book for lay readers about what might lie ahead in the 21st century, in this century, for energy prices, international trade and finance, and demographic shifts. The title is A Short Drive Through the 21st Century, The Future of Energy, Trade, and Demographics. Noel Brodsky is my guest in this portion of the program. You can meet and talk with him tomorrow at Pages for All Ages Bookstore in Savoy. He'll be there tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4 o'clock. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. Well, oil. That's a big topic. You don't see us running out anytime soon. You say it could be 100 years or more. What leads you to that conclusion?
Well, first of all, the total volume of oil in the world is completely unknown. I mean, it's just not a number that anybody's got a hold on. The planet is, after all, very, very large, and we've explored what maybe at the very best we live on only 25% of it. We've explored considerably small percentages of that, and then, of course, there's still the ocean to go. We know there's oil in places. We just haven't found it. When oil prices are low, of course, nobody really looks that hard, and when oil prices are high, they do look. So presumably this relatively high price of oil is going to spur some additional resources that we didn't know were there. In any case, just looking at known proven reserves, there's more than what you think there is. There's heavy oils, there's bitumens, there's tar sands. There's a variety of places you can find oil that are just simply non-traditional. So even if you were to run out of light sweet crude, you'd still have these other resources that you could go to, and best estimate is a minimum of 200 years away before we run out, and that's at current consumption levels. Mm.
Have the spikes and dips that we see in gasoline prices, have they been part of the story from the beginning?
From the beginning of?
Of when we used gasoline.
Yeah, they seem to be, although obviously nothing quite on the order of this at the moment. If you go back in time, we have a time series for oil anyway, not for gasoline, that goes back 140 years. Things certainly moved up and down. It went all over the place. It has two really large peak periods. The early period when it was very new, when it was young. So it's expensive to make the stuff. That settled down within about 20 years, and then it kind of stayed in the range of around $20 to $25 a barrel. And then in the 70s, we had the Iranian oil crisis. That took it up to the highest current actual real level, if you will. In other words, if I correct for the value of the dollar, that's the highest price we've ever seen, which is about $90 a barrel. And then it came back down for a while in the 90s. I think people forget that it was actually below $25 a barrel in the 90s, and that's only 10 years behind us. And then it came back up during the Gulf War. So it's no grand surprise that it's high right now. We have an active war in the region that is currently the most important supplier of oil. But, you know, these things do pass.
Yeah. What do you see ahead near term?
For oil prices?
Yeah.
The thing that I point to most of all is most people are talking about demand problems. Like, for instance, there's China and India that are currently heavily demanding these things, as well as other resources like metals, etc. That demand is fed in part by the fact that they have a major market that they're supplying, which is us. Most recessions in the United States occur about 5 to 7 years apart. Last trough for the United States was March of 2001. So you're looking at approximately 5 to 7 years from March 2001, and that's this year. So sometime in this next year, we probably should have a recession. When we have a recession, there is absolutely no doubt that China and India are going to feel that too. They're going to take a big hit. That's going to reduce their demand, at least in the immediate time period. And I would guess that both oil prices and gasoline prices will take a fairly large drop. My guess is you could see gas prices, I would guess oil prices in the range of $25 a barrel. I would guess gas prices in the range of $190 a gallon for regular within 1 year.
Hmm.
That's pretty strong suggestions.
Yeah.
So people can hold me to that, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think we have some people in the audience cheering
at this moment.
I
imagine they are.
You know, when we look out across the world and we see countries booming, China, India, Brazil as well, where will the U.S. fit within the world economy as these nations grow and as economies, you know, boom and recede?
Well, first of all, that's natural. Economies do that. That's just something they do. The United States has a really long history. Now you're looking at around, the best guess for economists, around 200 years of data, although the data in the early period is not so strong, but we have census data that tells us what's going on. The U.S. has had a growth rate of about 3.5% per year for about 200 years. There's absolutely no reason to believe that will ever change. I mean, we don't know where the number comes from precisely. There's lots of nice little ideas, but nobody has a fixed value there. Why 3.5%? But we know it's there. So I would guess that, if I were to project the next 100 years for the U.S., we'll grow 3.5%, which means we'll continue to grow fairly healthily. Other economies are either not yet in their stable growth paths, like China, India, Brazil, or their stable growth paths will be somewhat below us. I think Germany grows at like 3.1%, Great Britain grows at 3%, et cetera. And again, I can't tell you where those numbers, what the economic reason those numbers are different from ours, but the data is very, very powerful and tells us exactly what it looks like. So I would expect we're going to be fine. There are, however, interesting financial issues going on. The most important, which is that the U.S. is currently used as a major, the dollar is used as a major store of value in world currency. So, you know, most major banks, central banks of countries, use our dollar as part of their world reserves. If that were to change at some point, and there are threats to it, for instance, if the country were to suddenly start inflating, you could lose that. And if you lost that, that would be pretty serious. And I kind of suggest that there's some scenarios where that could happen, and if it happened very rapidly, you would have financial collapse in world markets. So,
yeah. China is a very interesting story, and it's huge. One of the things that you write about in A Short Drive Through the 21st Century is China's girls. Very quickly, can you give us a minute or two on the situation and what kind of problems that is leaving China with?
Well, one of the craziest stories that I ran into during the research for the book was the fact that apparently in the demographics of China, and let's not forget there's 1 billion people in China, but they're missing 50 million girls in the demographic. This is most important because it's concentrated in a very specific age group. They instituted a one-child policy roughly 20 years ago for reasons that nobody can be absolutely certain on. Chinese choose males over females for the most part, and if you're only going to have one kid, apparently the decision was it's going to be a boy. And as a result, there are missing girls, and 50 million of them. It's going to show up as important in the demographic in about 2030. That's when the boys of that age group are going to want to marry, and they're going to be missing girls to marry. That's a serious problem. You don't really know where it goes. I've noted to people before that there's a long history in the world of countries going to war over missing girls. They like women, and if the women are in nearby villages, well, you just raid them. So if you happen to be in southern Russia or in Mongolia or North Korea, your females might be, at some risk. I don't really know if that's going to happen. I would rather hope it doesn't. But
yeah, we could just go mail order, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could go mail order. But you have to find a place where there's excess girls.
Yeah.
And there aren't any places with excess girls. So, I mean, what we have is excess males in a particular, very important, very centralized country with a lot of political and economic power. That's an issue. And it's going to play out strangely. And I don't have any particular idea of exactly how.
Very interesting. Noel Brodsky, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
He is an associate professor of economics at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. He's the author of A Short Drive Through the 21st Century. You can meet and talk with him tomorrow at Pages for All Ages bookstore in Savoy. He'll be there tomorrow from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.